Welcome to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our show. I'm Deacon Rich Napoli, your host, joined by my lovely wife, Janet Napoli.
Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Lent.
Yeah, happy Lent. This is a beautiful time of the year. It's seems like spring is maybe finally coming here. I'm not sure. Almost warm.
Well, a little rain better than snow, right?
Right, right. But this time of Lent is just a beautiful time as well, regardless of the weather.
And I know, Rich, when I think of Lent, I think, as many others do, we think of confession, that beautiful sacrament that God gives us to help us to grow in holiness. Because after all, what's our journey all about but to be a saint, a living saint here on earth? And we really need the graces that we receive through that beautiful sacrament of reconciliation. But, you know, sadly, there are Catholics who don't utilize this beautiful sacrament. And, you know, there's many reasons for that. And probably one is because we're living in a culture where sin is not really a word even spoken of anymore. And not only that, but even parents, like if parents are not going to confession, then why would their children value it and go themselves?
Yep.
So I just wanted to recommend that there is a website out there called goodconfession.com. And, you know, if you've been away from confession or if you know someone who has been, you might want to recommend this website because it is a great way to really help you to understand what sin is and how it hurts your relationship with God and with each other. And, you know, how can I make a good confession? So this might be the tool that really might kickstart you, especially with all the other things that you're doing to prepare yourself for Easter. And let's make this a season that we really want to come out of it a better Christian of stronger faith than when we entered. That's my prayer for myself and for my family and for all of you.
And confession is such a key part of that. It really is. It's such a beautiful sacrament that we'll talk about a little bit later. You mentioned how parents going to confession,
the importance of
family and faith education. We're going to come back to that because that's actually our topic today. But I also want to mention this is the 15th anniversary of Holy Spirit
Praise
Radio.
Praise God, yes. You know, and we talk about prayer. I have to say, Holy Spirit Radio was absolutely an answer to a prayer. Holy Spirit Radio went live March 19th, 1999, the Feast of St. Joseph. It's 15 years. And about three months after Holy Spirit Radio went on air, I said a little prayer to God because I had gone through an operation. It was very serious. And I just wanted to get to know the Lord and to introduce him to my family. And I didn't know where to start. And I was praying. And it was during a homily that Father Gaben from St. Vincent Parish, where we were attending, mentioned that we had Catholic radio in the area. And I knew immediately that that was God answering my prayer. And when I turned it on, I'll tell you, it fed me. It catechized me. It continues to catechize me. I don't like to think about what our life would be like today, Rich, if Holy Spirit Radio wasn't here.
I mean, we wouldn't be sitting here for sure.
I probably
wouldn't be a deacon for sure. I wouldn't even be a believer.
I don't think our children would be going to church. I mean, there's so many things that because of Holy Spirit Radio, really being that God was able to reach us through Holy Spirit Radio. And I know I'm not alone. There are so many families, so many people who listen to this station who are blessed. And I'm grateful for all the financial support that people have given to this station, as well as their prayers. And we hope for many years to come, this station will grow and thrive and become bigger.
And I just want to thank the founders of the station, Dale and Jane Meyer, for their tireless
self-sacrifice every day, day in and day out.
Taking care of the station, but also just saying their initial yes as they took on the role of starting the station here. Without any real radio experience and just how it's blossomed. And the letters we get thousands of letters of people's lives that have been changed, including yours and mine, Janet, but everyone else in this
community. It's just such a beautiful domino effect. Their yes leads to our yes, leads to others saying yes, and it's just beautiful, beautiful. So thank you, Dale and Jane Meyer. Thank you to all the Holy Spirit Radio family. And praise God. Yeah. Praise God that we have not only WISP 1570 AM, but also WCOJ 1420.
Right. And we're very blessed in this community, in this Philadelphia region, to have this station. We're also blessed for another thing that's coming up next year. You're starting to hear about in the news now, which is the World Meeting of Families, also known as World Family Day, which is coming to the Philadelphia area in September of 2015. And it's, for those of you unfamiliar with it, think of if you know what World Youth Day is, where you have millions of young people come to, and the Pope comes, and it's a big, a lot of workshops and talks, and then finally a big mass with the Pope. Take that image and now change the word youth with family, and you have World Family Day, and that's going to be in Philadelphia. It's going to be the United States in Philadelphia in September of 2015. The preparations are already starting. If you saw the newspapers recently, there was a whole delegation that came from Philadelphia just this week to meet with the Pope and his staff, and included Archbishop Chaput, Mayor Mike Nutter, and the governor, Tom Corbett, and their entourages and their families, and some significant business leaders from the local community, you know, CEOs of mega corporations were there as well, all trying to, you know, just welcome the Pope to and the entourage to Philadelphia and talk about all the logistical planning for that meeting that's going to happen. It's going to be an amazing, amazing week.
Take a lot of preparation.
A lot of preparation.
I know that, you know, this will be the eighth time this is going on, but in the past there's been 150 countries involved in this, sending representatives
right.
from
Over
around the
world.
A million
people in other countries
yes.
have come. I expect that would even be bigger than that.
Oh,
here.
Absolutely.
So put that on your calendar, September 22nd to the 27th, 2015. A lot more coming about that in the future. But, you know, that whole notion of World Family Day is so important in today's life. You know, we're constantly bombarded. The family, I think, is attacked at multiple levels. It's the center of our faith. It really is a domestic church. It's where children first learn their faith. Mm. It's where we express our faith in love to each other. It's almost we talk about it as a model of the Trinity,
right.
A father, a mother, and a child mm-hmm. form sort of a human Trinity. And it's so many beautiful things about a family. But that family, as I said, it can be under attack these days. So the World Family Day is about helping us, deepen God's presence in our own families. And how do we do that through prayer and through education? And so, keeping with that sort of theme of families and the importance of it, we have today as our guest Kathy DiRico, who is the Director of Religious Education for St. Andrew's Parish. Kathy is originally grew up in New York, like Jan and I did.
That's right.
I guess it's a common thread here. but welcome, Kathy, first of all.
Thank you, Deacon Rich. It's Aww. A pleasure to be here.
So good to have you.
It's a joy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yep. So a little bit about Kathy. She grew up in New York, first went into television advertising and sales, working with the Mad Men there in New York.
Not quite that bad.
Okay. Right? And then through the promptings of the Holy Spirit and a lot of prayer, decided to pursue a career in education. And then, Kathy, in 1999, relocated to North Carolina, from New York to North Carolina, working at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic School in Raleigh, and served as a First Holy Communion catechist there. And then moved to this area back in 2002 and began working in the St. Andrew's Religious Education Department. She's been our director for the past 11 years.
That's
so
right.
It's been a crazy journey for you.
Where does time go? 11 yes. years, wow.
From multiple different areas there and getting to our parish. We're very grateful to have you here. And I think we're going to just talk a little bit about, you know, faith and the family and what you're doing at St. Andrew's, as an example of what the church at overall is doing to do, as Chaput says, Archbishop Chaput says, you know, deepen God's presence in our own families. So let me start off, though, about you personally. You've been in a few very different faith communities there in New York,
yes.
where John and I probably know that faith community a little bit. Although we weren't as active in our faith back then, but also you have been in North Carolina, Raleigh,
uh-huh.
And now here in the Philadelphia area. What kind of differences have you seen in those different communities?
Well, yes, growing up in New York, I went to a Catholic grade school on Long Island. And as you mentioned, I have had the opportunity to live in several different communities. And my path took me to parishes from Westchester, New York, to Raleigh, North Carolina, to here in Newtown. Each time I moved, though, I would seek out a Catholic church. And in doing that, I immediately found myself connected to a faith community. And the Catholic Church just provided an instant home for me. And I was
nice?
Always, it is.
It's knowing that no matter where you are in the world,
yes,
there's something common. That
continuity,
something
you can count on.
I travel over the world, and sometimes I'm in countries where I don't even understand the language of the Mass, but I know it's the same faith. I know it's the same Mass. And so there is some beautiful consistency to our faith.
It is so reassuring to know that. And, you know, as unique as each area is, I mean, that is absolutely very true. And to be able to be a part of that is such a gift and a blessing, and I really treasure that.
But there are some differences, too.
Some differences. Yeah. You know, in Westchester, New York, the parish communities were much smaller and very well established. So you didn't have the growth that you have in an area in North Carolina where it would be very transient and a huge influx of people relocating to the area, which made RCIA programs very large with about 45 to 50 people sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah, catechists. Yeah.
Now, these are people coming from other
areas.
Denominations?
Yeah,
things like
yeah.
That?
Mm-hmm. And then often Baptist. And so, however, I feel extremely blessed to be here in this Philadelphia Archdiocese and, of course, St. Andrew.
We're blessed to have you here for sure. I mean,
thank you.
You know, I will say, I'll be saying this throughout the show, but you know, seeing what you do with the youth of our parish, I have the privilege of being at confirmations and communions and May Days, and just seeing the joy on their face and the reverence and the excitement.
And they're so well prepared.
And the preparation, they understand what they're doing. Even the communion kids, they understand exactly what they're there for. They know they're about to receive Jesus, and they're so excited by that. And that doesn't come by accident. I mean, some of that comes from their parents, but some of that comes from the good preparation that you and the team there do. So I know, you're in the right spot.
And I am extremely grateful to the catechists and the teachers who help prepare the children because they take it extremely seriously and they are dedicated and devoted. And we certainly would not be able to do any of this without their commitment and dedication.
Well, Janet, you have some things to say about catechists and their influence on that sometimes goes undetected.
Well, I have a great admiration for catechists. Certainly, as I look back on our own children growing up, did you want me to tell that little story?
Yeah,
okay, there's one story I'd like to tell. When we first moved to the area, which was 1995, our two oldest ones were maybe in fourth grade and third grade. And I can remember, of course, they attended religious education at St. Vincent's, and they would go in the evening. And I can remember picking Tori up one night and bringing her home, and that's our middle child. And she said to me, "Mom, I have something to tell you." She said, "During class tonight, we all were brought to confession. And during confession, I told the priest that I didn't go to Mass last week. And he asked me why. And I told him I didn't know why. My parents just didn't bring me. And the priest wanted me to tell you, Mom, that you have an obligation to bring me to Mass. It's your choice whether or not you want to go. But as my parent, you have an obligation to bring me to Mass. And if you need to, you can drop me off and pick me up." And I can remember she said this in front of the other two children, and she's looking at me. And and I thought, okay, I could do a little song and dance here, and we could just gloss over this, and none would be any the wiser. Or I could own up and say, "You're absolutely right. Father was right. I failed you, and you should be going to church every single week, and I promise from now on we will not miss Mass." So thankfully, I chose the second option, and I confessed to them that we were wrong in not taking them to Mass, not making it a priority. And you'd have to understand at that point in our faith journey, you know, it was very little. It was like, certainly we had good values and morals as a family, but as far as putting Christ in the center of our life, we weren't there yet. And there were times that we would skip Sunday Mass.
Yep.
But I was so grateful. Yeah, whatever. But I was so grateful. It was Father Gaben who said this to my daughter, because it challenged me. It took me to the next level that we know that's something that we really do need to make a priority. Sunday should be first a day of worship and then other things.
Right. And we didn't get the chance. We wouldn't probably have had that chance had not our children been going to religious education and having the catechist teach about confession and take them to confession.
And once our faith did come online and we were the first thing I realized, which Holy Spirit Radio really helped me, once I started listening to Holy Spirit Radio, I realized, my gosh, I came home one day and I'm like, I've really failed our kids in not passing on the faith to them. And what an obligation and a privilege that is to do. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't know, you can't give what you don't have.
That's
and that's why Holy Spirit Radio was so important for me, to help catechize me so that I could then turn around and live and witness that faith to them in a way that they could value it for themselves and then make their own choice to claim that and to live it. So I am so appreciative to the catechists who have picked up the slack where I did not. And then when I did come on board, were able to work with me, to be a team partner with me to help raise our children.
And who gave us our first Bible?
Well, yes, it was a catechist handing a Bible to our son, Drew, who was preparing for his confirmation. And I say to myself, my gosh, we wouldn't even have a Bible in the house if it wasn't for them going for their catechism class. So
back to you, Kathy. I mean, that is part of the reason why we, you know, I wanted you on the show, because we have come to recognize the importance of you know, building faith in our family and the role of religious education as part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to come back, and first I want to just remind everybody who you're listening to. This is Deacon Dialogues, and I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, with my wife, Janet. We have as our guest, Kathy DiRico, the Director of Religious Education for St. Andrew's Parish in Newtown, Pennsylvania. And if you have questions, feel free to call us in. This is a live show. You can call us at 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. And this is Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM and 1420 AM in Coatesville. Okay, Kath, back to you now. So, you know, we're talking about some of the differences in the faith in different communities. But let's turn to, you know, faith formation in the family. So, you know, why is it so important that we educate our family in faith?
Well, we all know how important healthy relationships are to the well-being of the family. And the love of family is so very important in the life of a child. Christ does need to be in the center of our family life and in our homes in order for the family and that love to truly flourish. Mm. You even mentioned in your own family that how much you benefited when you opened up yourself to the grace of the sacraments through Tori's experience in reconciliation. It is sometimes a slow process. However, over time, it bears tremendous fruit.
It does.
I mean, right here, you are living
indeed.
Witnesses of that seed that was planted, and here we are. Absolutely. It is very important to engage the family, and it's something we take very seriously at St. Andrew, and I am so grateful that our families are so receptive, and that's been such a blessing, too.
We are blessed with that. I mean, we're blessed with a large parish. How many parishioners do we have? About 20,000?
Yeah, about 19,000 parishioners and 5,900 families.
Yep.
So,
It's a very big parish, and I will say it is a very active parish. We're very blessed that way.
And it's active across all ages.
It is.
That's what I find so exciting when I go to St. Andrews. You'll see all ages involved in the ministries.
We did one of our CHRP weekends, our Christ Renews His Parish Renewal weekends, and one of the men was new to the community, and he drove around and went to, he said, I didn't want to go to Sunday Mass. He said, I want to go to daily Mass and see who shows up for daily Mass at the different parishes. And he drove around all the parishes, and when he came to St. Andrews, he saw exactly that. He saw everybody, all different age groups there, young, old, families, retired, you know, infants even, all at daily Mass. And he said, all right, this is my parish. Mm-hmm. So we're very, very blessed.
There are sometimes families that come before school, and they'll come to an early morning Mass and head off to school. I mean, there might be something specific that day that brings them. But, that happens, too.
Yeah.
And that's nice to see.
It's beautiful. So we are blessed. You're starting with sort of fertile soil in some ways, I think, with these families. And that's a real blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of work to do there beyond that, right? Once you start with that, so, you know, what are some of the things, I guess, let's talk about what are some of the traditional things when people normally think of sort of, you know, religious education, what are the standard things that means? And then we'll talk about some of the wonderful other things about how it involves families. But
well, it's specific to my role as
to your role, as the Director of Religious Education.
Okay. My role, obviously, is to serve and provide for the families of St. Andrew Parish. And with such a large parish, we have families, and there are many different circumstances and situations. Really, with God's grace, my role is to serve families to the best of my ability. And fortunately, I have the privilege of working with wonderful other staff members. So, you know, it really is a team effort as we serve our parish. And I am also extremely blessed to have a wonderful pastor who is very supportive and provides great insight and wonderful direction. So I'm really very grateful to Monsignor Picard for all that he does.
As both an administrative leader and a spiritual leader. Yeah, he's a wonderful man. So tell me, you know, what are some of the traditional duties that you would normally be doing there?
Specific with catechizing the children. And really, my role is in addition to the curriculum that we provide to the students in the religious education program, but really to encourage participation at Mass and the Sacrament of Reconciliation, to really avail ourselves to the grace of the sacraments is truly, you know, what I really take very seriously, and it's a tremendous part of my role. And really to help the children develop a personal relationship with our Lord, encourage them to put that relationship first and have everything flow from that. And really help them to kind of see that as they continue on their life journey, help them to see the importance of maintaining a faith life and staying connected to their Catholic faith. And just to be able to recognize God's presence and love in their lives. And really, He has an awesome plan for them, and help them to kind of prayerfully proceed.
Trust
in that plan and to pray about that. So that is a big, obviously, part. And
you mentioned also, I don't know, as we were talking before the show, about helping the kids become aware of their gifts and talents and how to put them to use.
Yeah, well, in our area, in our community, the children are blessed. I mean, they are blessed with tremendous gifts and talents, and my hope is that they would use those gifts to bring glory to God, and also wherever those gifts take them, that they would, because they could travel all over the world and attend, you know, wonderful schools and be a part of fantastic professions, but that they maintain a strong foundation and stay rooted in their Catholic faith and just not lose sight of that as they move forward. And in imparting on them as Catholics, that they remember that faith and hope, love, peace, and joy are an intricate part of who we are. And last but most of all is that true happiness is to know and to love our Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. I mean, that is something that, you know, we just want to be able to reiterate in a substantial, profound way, so that at some point, you know, that stays with them.
Yeah, and I know I've seen that when I'm at First Communion masses, and the excitement on those kids' faces. I mean, they know what they're about to receive, and they're excited.
And you want them to keep that.
Right.
You know, I have to say, for me, some people, when I see them receive communion, I'm almost in awe, because there's almost like they have this connection with God at that moment. And I'm thinking in particular of a young girl who has Down syndrome. And when she receives communion, and I see it. It moves me, because she has such joy in her face that she has received something so special and precious.
Right.
And she might not fully be able to comprehend, but she at least recognizes it on that level. And I think how far superior she is in her witness of receiving communion than I am.
Yeah.
But she's such a witness to me when I go.
And, you know, and I think back, you know, my, like, religious education, I went to Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school. Wasn't a believer, you know, because of my influence of my dad, but I did go. And I don't think I realized until I came back to my faith how instrumental Catholic school and Catholic education was to the formation of my values throughout my life.
Yes.
And it wasn't until I came back, oh, that's what we believe. Oh, that's what I always felt. And then I'm realizing, you feel that way because that's what you learned in elementary school.
So those seeds were planted in you.
The seeds were planted, and I think that's what you were sort of alluding to, Kathy, when you're saying you want to give them that exposure to the Eucharist and the reverence and the joy
foundation.
Of the Eucharist as a foundation, because life is going to take them somewhere, and we all have journeys, and not everyone's journey is you know, all smooth sailing. We have ups and downs. And so you want them to know that when they're in trouble, they can remember back and turn to the Eucharist.
And for myself as a parent, you know, having three children in three far different states, one in Boston, one Virginia, and one in Texas, I have such peace in my heart because I know that they have their faith at the center of their lives, and I'm perfectly at peace with them going off and living their life, knowing that. And if they didn't have Christ at the center of their lives, I would be St. Monica. I'd be traveling. I would be on their doorstep. I would be hounding them, and I would be so unrestful on the inside.
Right.
But so that's such a great gift to be able to pass on your faith and to be able to give them the tools, Kathy, through the religious education program to continue to not only have the faith, but you want to keep growing deeper and deeper and deeper. The journey never ends.
Right.
It doesn't end to your last breath.
I think it's one of the main differences in Catholic religious education versus, say, other Protestant denominations is, and they both have values, but we focus on educating the children, giving them foundation. And then maybe sometimes we don't do such a good job as adults until they come back. But, I mean, they have that foundation. As it's sort of, even before they knew, even before they chose to turn away from it, it's in their core. Mm-hmm. And it's something that it's always there that they can fall back on. Protestants kind of approach it from an adult standpoint, which is beautiful. They hit you from sort of an intellectual and emotional standpoint as an adult, and which is another way of forming you. But
and another thing, even as parents, like you and I, Rich, you were an atheist. I went to church on Sundays, at least most Sundays. But for me, I grew up in a family where I fulfilled my obligation. Okay, I'm done. I didn't have all the extras. I didn't really understand about a prayer life, that personal relationship, utilizing all these sacraments. But and now that I'm in my 50s, I think I just had a brain freeze and I forgot my thought. But, so what were you just saying? Because it'll come back to me.
Just talking about how your faith is formed as a young person, so even if you drift away.
So even as parents, even though we were not having Christ at the center of our lives, we still recognized the importance of sending them, having them baptized and sending them to religious education so that they would make their communion, mm-hmm. make their confirmation.
Right.
So I mean, that was still in us,
right.
the value
well,
of valuing that.
I always valued it.
Yes.
I always valued it, even when I didn't believe. I valued it as a good way to live your life. And it's mm-hmm. good. Jesus had good rules, if you will, good guidelines, advice, maybe is the way I would have said it back then. So I took, you remember when we came to this area?
Yes.
Here I am, the atheist. And I go, first thing I do is I go to St. Vincent's, the sign is up.
First thing, I mean, here we are. I'm living in New York. I'm seeing him only on weekends. I think I gained 50 pounds during the 6 months that we were separated, going back and forth, trying to build this house, all of this. And he says to me, oh, I signed them up for religious education. I'm thinking, all the things we have to do, and that's what you do.
See,
but see, yes.
Because
and
somewhere
now,
deep down, I knew that was important.
Knew,
even
yes.
back then. So I think that's something for our listeners to be reminded of, too, is the value of faith education, not only of children, but, for the whole family. That
yes.
religious education is something you start with children,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't ever end. And I think that's something you're going to talk to us about in a little bit. But first tell us a little bit of just, sort of the basic structure of how does religious education work sort of in the early years when people come for religious education and drop their kids off. How does that progress from sort of grades 1 through 6?
Well, there is the traditional structure of the weekly religious education class that we provide. Currently we have 3 sessions, we also now have a new summer family configuration, and that is for grades 1st through 6th grade.
Right.
So traditional religious ed is that weekly experience, and where they come and they learn about their faith, as you know, and then on weekends we gather together, worship, and it's a great combination.
Right.
However, there are challenges with
Certainly.
That.
So what kind of challenges do you face with that?
Well, specifically for that would be that the children have had a long day at school, so when they come to religious education at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, they're tired,
mm-hmm.
and they're not necessarily always receptive, or really at their best to be able to receive more instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And
they come before dinner.
Well,
it depends on the parents.
Okay.
Plus, they have homework, I'm sure, when they get home.
And there's homework, and there's
after-school
activities.
Yeah.
And their parents are tired. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, both working.
Exactly.
Yes. Family stresses.
Yeah, there are a lot. There are a lot of things that are going on within the work week.
Mm.
And so, that does have a little bit of it. That has an impact on traditional religious ed classes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But and what kinds of things are they learning in the early grades versus the later grades? You know, obviously, besides preparing for sacraments, I mean, do they have different
the curriculum?
Areas?
Sure.
Yeah, the curriculum?
There's a spiral curriculum, and you know, in the first year, it's the Blessed Trinity, as you covered last night at our that was a wonderful talk, Deacon
thank
Rich.
You,
thank you so much.
I
very insightful. A little bit above our first graders, but thank you.
Above us all.
That first year is a lot of prayers, Bible stories, you know, a good foundation, the Holy Family. So that would be the first year. And then the second year would be preparation for First Reconciliation and First Holy Communion, in addition to the curriculum that is. And then but in fourth grade, it's the commandments. In fifth grade, it's the sacraments, reviewing of the sacraments. But it's a spiral education. In each year, it builds. It builds upon. And then sixth grade, it'd be more scripture and then also preparation for confirmation, which is what most of the parishes in our area, it is confirmation takes place in sixth grade.
Right, and that's the way we do it in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, I think.
Yeah, for the most part, most parishes, it's sixth grade.
I know when I grew up, I think it was seventh grade. But the sad part is, once confirmation came, that was really the end of your education.
And, yeah, if you went to like a CCD program.
Yes, in public school, CCD program, that was the end.
Right, and that's where a lot of parents would stop, too, unfortunately.
Yes, yes.
However,
and now I was going to get to that one second. Let me just remind everyone that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio is on 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia and 1420 AM in Coatesville. This show is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. We're here with my wife, Janet Napoli. And we have as our guest today, Kathy DiRico, who is the Director of Religious Education for our St. Andrew's Parish in Newtown. So if you do have questions, this is a live show. So please give us a call at 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. So, Kath, back to you. You know, I think you were just alluding to the notion that traditional program is in place and it's been working for years.
Mm-hmm.
But because of some of these challenges, you've been working to and instituting some ideas and programs to sort of expand, approach it differently from a more of a family perspective. So tell us what you've done and how that's working.
Yes. First of all, in all of religious education, it's crucial that we partner with parents and partner with families in the religious education and faith formation of children. I mean, we all know that parents are the first teachers, and especially when it comes to their faith of children. And so, as Janet, you were saying earlier,
my heart breaks because they should be, and we just were not. But I'm so grateful to God that they were still young enough to educate our children.
Or our children.
Still,
yeah.
I mean, it breaks my heart when kids are not receiving it in the home.
Well, that is a reality.
Yes.
It happens. However, the Holy Spirit does have a way of coming
Amen.
Through.
If you're open to Him and you say yes.
Yeah. And so we really rely on working with our families, and it is a cooperative effort. And, for example, you know, one of the things that, you know, I'd like to sort of kind of mention is that, and this was sort of an interesting experience that we just recently had. We have our confirmation retreats, and we'll talk a little bit more about sacrament preparation. But it was kind of a neat thing. I guess got a little letter. We have our confirmation retreats, and they take place at the church and in the parish meeting room, and it's several different activities. And it is very engaging. We've kind of fine-tuned it over the years and provide a meaningful experience.
Right.
And one of the things that we do, it's called a family affirmation letter.
Oh, wow.
And it's a highlight, really a highlight of the retreat. And this is where family members write letters, much like we do in
other programs,
to say, and where family members write letters to the confirmation candidates. And these letters are just, they're letters from the heart telling the confirmation candidate how special they are, how much they're loved, the hopes and dreams that a parent has for their child. It's there are things that parents feel. I mean, they want what's best for their children always. And really, what is best, our Lord is truly what is best for their child. But parents always want what's best for their children. And so so the parents write these letters, siblings write these letters, and then we hold them aside. And during the retreat, there's a special time where scripture is read and a reflection is done. And then each confirmation candidate is handed an envelope filled with letters written to them by their family members.
Aww.
And it is a very powerful experience.
Yeah,
and then
these
candidates' children essentially read these letters over and over and over again.
Throughout their lives, I bet.
I mean, it's just one of those things where, I've been doing this for a very long time, mm-hmm. and each and every time, you know, we get to this part of the retreat, it just pulls at your heart. And so this particular year, I happened to get a little letter from a confirmation candidate who was actually writing a letter for somebody else, and this was his quote. He said, not only, he was talking about his experience at the confirmation retreat, and he said, not only do you learn about your faith and have fun, but you get to know how much your family loves you.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, what could be better than learning about your faith, having fun, and really hearing how much your family loves you?
Oh, and there's something about putting it in writing. Writing is like a permanent. There's something permanent about that you have and can treasure. So I can see where this would be very moving and profound for them.
And looking beyond.
For the parents to pick the right words. Right. And what to express to them, you know?
Well, even if you don't want the parents worrying too much about what
to
write.
No, but I'm sure they do really give a lot of thought into it.
Yes.
Sure, and the child can look back on that. As I said, I can imagine even as adults looking back and seeing what their parents hope for, maybe when their parents are gone. You know, they look back and say, wow, look, they're really looking out for me. They're really caring for me. You know, we say this a lot. It's not always spoken of, but it's what we're called to do as parents, and that is we're called to get our children to heaven.
Yes.
You know, and I remember the first time I heard that myself, it's like, ooh, wow, that's
right to your core.
I thought I'd get them into college, not get them into heaven.
Right.
You know? And this notion
getting them into college is easier, I think.
Yeah, right. That, you know, this obligation is really the final goal for us as parents.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We have to get our spouses into heaven, we have to get ourselves into heaven, and we have to get our children into heaven. And that obligation comes back to this notion of religious education, that we have to pass on the faith directly ourselves. We have to be good examples. We have to show them how faith is important in our lives and what it means to us. But then they need to hear from someone else. I know that in our family, all three kids got to a point where, you know, the faith has to move beyond something you give them to something they take
themselves. Well, it has to become concrete for them.
It has to become concrete. And they have to hear it from someone
That's
other
true.
Than you.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think, is where religious education can really help make that difference. But you want to go – I know you want to talk about that, you know, how do we help the parents do that? You know, because parents
Empower
have those goals
parents.
and they want to get to, you know – help their kids get to that level, but sometimes they may not have the tools themselves to do that. So you've been working on some programs to help enrich the families as well.
Right, yes. Inviting the parents to be a part of different either retreat experiences, which has been wonderful, and inviting them to kind of have a part where they actually interact and participate together with their child, and then also provide something for them as an adult. For example, we just recently had a reconciliation retreat for our second graders, and it was a really great opportunity to have the parents, as I just said, work together, do something together, and then the parents then had a presentation that was directed for them, so that they can really kind of understand why this is so important, not only in the life of their child, but in the life of their family, and why, you know, things that they sort of may have forgotten, as you said.
Or take for granted.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, things that you may have heard as a child, and then when you hear again as
an
adult, it has a different meaning.
Right.
It has a different implication. It resonates in a different way. Some dots are connected. It really helps. And I've been able to invite not only people who are actually in ministry work and invite them to present to our families, our parents, But also within our own parish, we have some people who have tremendous insight and have been able to provide some really good catechesis. So it's not only a faith witness where somebody kind of speaks about how our Lord has impacted them in their life, the grace of the sacraments, how it has changed the life, their life and the life of their family, but then also provide some very authentic catechesis and church teaching.
Right.
And so that balance to be able to provide the both and have that for our parents has really been extremely well received. And so that's been a blessing.
I had a chance to participate in that last year, and it was beautiful. I was doing the session on the Eucharist and the Mass. I think I said,
yes.
Explain
uh-huh.
the Mass and the beauty of the Eucharist. And it was just so nice, you know, I was teaching, talking to the parents, giving them instruction, and then in the very next room, their kids were getting similar instruction on the Eucharist at their level. And the parents, as you said, was just so, you know, thankful.
I think they were appreciative, yes.
And amazed at some of the things. Oh, really? That's why we do that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that is? Just, you know, they had the faith of a child up until then. You know, they understood the Eucharist from a child's standpoint because that's what they were taught. And now they were learning it as an adult. And, and I knew that they were going to be able to take that. And then at the dinner table that night.
That's right. Conversations will
they
continue.
They were going to be able to have a conversation with their kids in a way that they probably couldn't have had before, because now they had some adult level understanding of what they learned as a child. Mm. And I know that they enjoyed that that day and that program.
Very much so.
And also
successful.
Something you say is probably piquing their curiosity. Well, then they'll take that and they'll want to build upon it. They'll want to find out more. Maybe they're going to get that book or listen to the radio program or turn on EWTN or do something that's going to push their faith, push it more forward.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it is, you know, we talked about how CCD sometimes, you know, helped us in our faith journey because our kids brought back home things for us, an education. And this is another example where the parents may be going this initially because, you know, for sort of convenience reasons. But once they get there, they're actually being, you know, recatechized. And now that we sparked a new grace in them.
Well, I think what you're specifically talking about is the summer family program.
Okay,
is that
right.
what you're
yes.
talking about, the
yes.
summer family program?
Yes.
Yeah, and that is fairly new to our parish. That has been a very meaningful option to traditional religious ed. Instead of meeting weekly, it is still a 40-hour program. And it's configured so that our children are... they spend a week in June, and it is a full day. Mm-hmm. And so for that week, there is the majority of the curriculum is presented in that week. And we found a way to make it so that the day is full, but it's very, it moves quickly, and it's very engaging for the children. And they really do enjoy it. And there's homework every night.
And
they're focused. They're what's nice about it is they're not distracted with other after school activities.
Right. Full
that
focus.
And they're not, they don't have any other they don't have homework. They don't have after school activity. They don't have other things that are vying for their attention.
Right.
So they come in each and every morning. I mean, and they really
like
are.
Camp.
And they're ready.
Like
yes.
And although Deacon Rich, I go to great lengths to to make sure that when somebody says, "Hey, you know, how about that summer religious ed camp?" I'm like, "Nope, it's not camp. It is the summer family program." And because we do have a vacation Bible
right.
camp.
Oh, you do?
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
We do that
all right.
also. And that's
different.
That is different.
You're not just coloring.
No.
Okay.
absolutely not. But
yeah, they do some pretty intense stuff during that week, right?
Yeah. It is absolutely.
What are some examples of some of the things they might be doing then?
Well, each grade has their own curriculum
because
it mirrors the same curriculum that you would have in the course of the year. So they are following the curriculum. However, we have it laid out so that the lessons really move, and we are able to really utilize the interactive capabilities that the websites provide. So it's really very engaging. And then each day provide a special that kind of makes it so that what they learn in the classroom, we can kind of provide some sort of a relatable experience that sort of kind of gives the teachers an opportunity to talk about what happened in this special time. You know, this each and every day there's a special. One day we had Deacon Chris Marconi, and he came and he talked about the Mass. And we've also had a seminarian come in, and we had sisters come in, and so we provide a different activity each day, but the teachers can really draw on that during their lessons.
Sure.
And so, like last year, for example, the theme was really being open to God's will. You know, so we had the seminarian talk about how he kind of was prompted by the Holy Spirit to really kind of pursue this and become come to the seminary and really pursue this. And so each year we kind of have a different theme. And so it's worked out very well. And it's been really very popular. And currently now we have quite a few families who are shifting over from the traditional religious ed into this summer family program.
But there's a continuation.
There is.
Like this is the best part here, I think.
Yeah, that's only one part of it. The other half of it is the family component. And that takes place over the course of the year with 6 monthly meetings where we bring the family in, and the children then are returned to their classroom for a follow-up curriculum, and then the parents then join us in for a parent meeting. And so we provide
something. Is that a weekend?
It's a Sunday morning.
Okay. Right.
And so then we provide that for the families to be able to have that
interaction.
So we start with fellowship. We start with some. So it works out very well and very nicely.
Yeah.
And so that's been fun. That's been great, and have enjoyed it.
And just to remind everyone, you're listening to WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia and 1420 AM in Coatesville. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, here with my wife, Janet, and we have our guest, Kathy DiRico, Director of Religious Education from St. Andrew's Parish in Newtown. And we have a caller. Nancy from Southampton has a question for us. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm very interested, Kathy. It sounds like you have some great things going on there over at St. Andrew's. I'm new to the prep program. I had gone to Catholic school myself. My children are new to the prep program in the area.
Uh-huh.
And I keep on wondering, I see it's difficult for the parents with the convenience factor and with all the work things and the kids getting sick sometimes and the various activities and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder why our parishes don't share the religious education programs a bit more, that, you know, if your third grader couldn't make it, necessarily Wednesday night all year long at your parish, that they could then go to the St. Andrew's class that week, and go to the third grade class there and have a little bit more sharing of the program so that it would be an easier thing for the families to do. But almost similar to, if you can't make it to your Mass at 9 o'clock, okay, well, I'll go to the other parish to their 10 o'clock Mass or something like that.
Well, that is an interesting idea, an interesting thought. I think part of the circumstance with that is that, each parish has their own religious education program, and, they're structured for the well-being and the safety of the children in their program. So, all the parishes go to great lengths to provide safety and security for the children and the parishes that we serve. Plus, each teacher has their own class, and there's a continuation week to week of the curriculum that is presented. So it would be a little bit maybe awkward for a child to just kind of step in because they wouldn't be familiar with not only the combination of children but also where they are in the curriculum.
Right.
So I think that would be very difficult on a child to do that. It's not quite the same way as going to a different parish for Mass, because the Mass is the Mass, and
it's universal throughout the church around the world. It's the same quote unquote curriculum at Mass each week, right? But you're talking about the curriculum as it applies to each individual parish. We all have there's a general curriculum that you follow.
Right.
But
yes.
Specifically, week by week, it may vary.
Right.
And it'll vary classroom by classroom, I think is what you're saying.
Plus, we use different materials.
Right.
You know, I don't necessarily use the same, same publisher series that another program would use.
Right.
So we have different textbooks. We have, you know, although across the board, everybody in fourth grade is learning about the commandments, you know, it just varies a little bit so far as the textbooks and the curriculum that you're using as far as how it's laid out, how the book is laid out. I think it would just be difficult on a child to do that.
And you mentioned, I hadn't really thought about the safety aspect. I mean, you know, you are dropping your child off, and therefore, you know, the parish assumes the responsibility for that child while they're there. So we need to know, you know, who the parents are, who to call, contact information, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think all of those things, Nancy, just make it, you know, it's a good idea, but maybe a bit impractical for us, at least here in Philadelphia.
Okay, well, thanks very much. I just know that it seems... It's hard, definitely
yes.
Hard on the families.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the kids there every single week, it seems.
And you know, I want to say I admire you for doing it because it is difficult. But you're teaching your children a great lesson in juggling your schedule and making sure they get there. You're telling them that this is something that's valuable to them and it's essential for their spiritual development and their well-being.
And
I give you a lot of kudos.
And you might be able to bring in, recommend to your parish the kind of programs that Kathy has put here in place in St. Andrews, where there is an alternative now. So you can go to the summer program, and for a week or two, is it?
It's actually 1 week.
1 week.
And then monthly.
And then monthly weekend, programs throughout the year rather than every Wednesday night or whatever it is. So,
exactly.
So that might be something you can look into as well, Nancy.
Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate
your
time. Okay. Bye-bye. So, again, reminding our listeners, there's only a few minutes left, but if you do have questions, you can reach us here at 215-345-1570. That's 215-345-1570. In the few minutes we have left, Kathy, let me ask you, what's the most fun aspect of your job? What really gets you excited?
I have to say, being part of sacrament preparation is truly, the highlight for me, to be able to work with the children and the families in that, capacity. It is just truly a joy and a privilege. And, to be able to share that experience, with families. And I really am humbled, by this privilege. Just to be able to work with the children, and then, as you said, we get to that time where we are actually at church, and either the children are receiving their first Holy Communion, or next week we're getting ready.
Confirmation
is next weekend. Yes, and we are excited about that, and our confirmation candidates are ready, and so so being a part of that is really, I have to say, the part I do enjoy the most, and that's been terrific.
That's great. All right, we do have one more caller, and then we'll cut off here. This is Rich from Philadelphia with a question about the idea of moving confirmation to a different grade. Is that the question, Rich?
Yes, it is, Deacon Rich. How are you?
Oh, hey, it's the other Deacon Rich. Good. How are you? I recognize that voice anywhere. How are you?
Hi, Rich.
All right. My best to Janet.
Thank you.
It's one of my classmates, my Deacon classmates.
Okay.
And we have Kathy. So, Kathy, in Philadelphia, confirmation, is in sixth grade. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
In
yes.
other countries and other dioceses, even, it's in different grades. So what... why is it in quickly? We only have 3 minutes left here, but why sixth grade for us?
Okay, I don't know that I can answer that question. I just know that that's you're right. In different areas, in some areas it is in high school. In North Carolina or in Texas, they receive confirmation in high school, and I think that there's a lot of different thoughts about that, and about 2 years ago, There was a lot of discussion about whether or not that will change, if our diocese will change that. And as of now, it has not been, you know, we aren't changing it. It has not been determined that we are staying. And I mean, I'm not quite sure. There are pros and cons to both. You know, obviously, as children, as they get older, they get busier and their lives get more involved. And so it's a little bit to extend it out might make it difficult. On the other hand, yes, they're older. So it was, you know, everything from making it younger to older has been up for discussion. And so I'm sorry, but I can't answer that question.
that's a question we'll ask the Archbishop when he's a guest here.
It might change one day, but it is what it is for now.
For now,
well,
yes.
I was actually just wondering what your opinion was as far as do you think this is a good age to have it, or would you, if you had the power, would you change it?
Wow.
with about 1 minute left to talk, Kathy.
You know what?
She would defer.
I would absolutely defer, and I happen to see that it works very well right now. I think that the students are, you know, the confirmation candidates are embracing
this. They're very
well
prepared. They're excited. I mean, I see it, Rich. I'm sure you do as well when you're on the altar there for confirmation. It's just beautiful. These children are excited to be there. They're anticipating the, you know, the receipt of the Holy Spirit, and they know what they're doing. So I think it's it works well for our community.
Yeah, it does.
And we're going to have to cut you off there.
Okay.
Sorry, Rich. I appreciate the question.
God bless you, Rich, and your family.
God bless you both.
Happy Lent.
Thanks very much. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. In the few seconds we have left here, let's just thank you, Kathy DiRico, for joining us today and being a part of this
appreciate
and giving people and families a chance to understand what
how
important faith education is. Our goal, again, our job as parents is to get our children into heaven. And that means teaching them the sacraments, showing them the love of God, and letting them experience that through us and through religious education. It's been a joy to have
you
here, Kathy.
Thank you very much. And let's invite somebody who's been away from the church back to church.
Ricardo says, give them the gift of Jesus.
Give them the gift of Jesus.
And invite someone to church.
And to confession. God bless you.
And confession. It's a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. And look forward to seeing you all for the World Family Day in 2015. It's a ways away, but start putting it on your calendar now. Thank you all for joining us, and God bless you all, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.